You're listening to the High Point Church Podcast.
Well, Merry Christmas. So excited to be here today. This is just fun. You're all happy. You're all sugared up. You're all thinking about gifts you're giving, gifts you're getting. It's just a good day to be at church. Everybody's just happy today. I love it. Before we get into our regular scheduled program here, we have some VIPs, some very, very special people. David Schaefer is a part of our church, but he is off serving our country in an undisclosed location under the water somewhere. And we get him for a little bit, or his parents get him. We get to share this Christmas. But if you're in the military, would you stand up and just want to say thank you for your service? And thank you, David, for being here. So glad to have you. And we're just proud of our military folks here. Give him a hand. Give him a hand. They were, I remember when David learned how to drive, and now they have him driving a multi-million dollar nuclear sub, and it's awesome. He's doing a great job, so it's great. It's I'm getting old. Not that old, but older. I digress. It's Christmas, and it's so fun. It's so fun, so exciting, as we're all thinking of the hustle and bustle. And I've been talking to different people here. Merry Christmas. I'm doing this. You're doing that. Everybody's just got their plans. Some are going to Wisconsin. One couple, they're going to Mexico, and that sounds wonderful. And people are traveling. There's this attitude, there's this mindset of traveling and festiveness and excitement and just this bubbly. I just love this week of the year. And, you know, as we were kind of thinking, I don't know if your Facebook page lit up with this, but mine did. And it was this image you might have seen of this, like, airplane full of people. And when you click on it, it's this long video, which you can watch at your leisure, of an airline company out in Canada called WestJet. And WestJet came up with this genius. Like, if you're the marketing firm who came up with this idea, you deserve a Super Bowl ad. Genius. They thought, what we'll do is we'll set up a little, like, kiosk area where people can interview via video Santa, and then Santa would ask them, what do you want for Christmas? And people would respond with what they wanted. And so you can kind of see the picture here. They're interacting, and Santa would ask, and he'd be like, no, really, tell us. And so one guy's like, I don't know, a 50, you know, like a big TV. And the wife's like, yeah, we want a big TV, yeah. You know, and little kids are like, I want a doll, I want an Xbox, I want it, you know. And so on and so forth. One dude was like, socks and underwear. And so they were just asking for all this stuff. Little did they know that this company was planning on buying everything these people asked for. I mean, just going out. So during the flight at the town that they were going to, they went to the Best Buy, they went to Target, they went to all these different places, they bought people stuff. And I love this picture because here's what they're doing. They're going, they're shopping, all these little elves running around. And then here's the kid getting his Android tablet. You know, I love it. It's awesome. And then here's the dude getting his socks and underwear. Like, ha ha. You know, his little girl, there's the big screen TV. There it is, 50 inches, you know, whatever. And it was so fun and just so cool to see these people getting this stuff. And how many know that's good news? Like, most of the time, you go to the airport, you're traveling, and it's like,
I'm sorry, but you're going to be delayed for 3 hours,
you know, and you're like, My dad was on an airplane once. He was flying from New York to Milwaukee, and that we lived in Racine, and so you fly into Milwaukee, and which my wife says I pronounce it wrong. I say I'm from there, so some say Milwaukee, some say Milwaukee. Just drop the L. You're good. Anywho. So he's on a flight from New York to Milwaukee, and all of a sudden, he's eating his breakfast. He got upgraded to first class. He was really excited about that. He was kind of tired, long trip. And he was so just stoked. He just couldn't wait to get home to see his favorite son. I'm an only child. And And so he was so excited, and so he was going to eat his cereal, whatever. And all of a sudden, the stewardess came running through, grabbing cereal bowls, throwing them into this bag, and strapping in. And the plane went just down as fast. The little masks came on. Everybody's doing the Darth Vader, like, you know, breathe normally. Yeah, right, I'm falling out of the sky, you know. And so my dad, he said, we're coming in, and all of a sudden we land, we get below 10,000 feet, we land finally, and he says, I usually don't say this, but I'm very glad to be in Detroit today. We almost didn't make it, you know, and my dad's like, what? You know, and they got him to Milwaukee, not on that plane, but so that was good news and bad news. Good news is, we made it, you're alive. Bad news is, you're in Detroit. Which usually is bad news. And so, you know, you usually when you're traveling, you get all this bad news, but these people got great news. Hey, 50-incher. Hey, Tandra Trip. It was so exciting, and it was so fun, and I loved watching it. But, you know, 2,000 years ago, a group of travelers, shepherds, nomads, people who lived on the land and went with their sheep and their flocks around, they got good news. They got incredible news, better than any 50-inch TV that will be outdated with technology in just a few years, better than any Android tablet that will be upgraded and forgotten about in 2 years, better than any game system or whatever. They got great news. And here's what Scripture says. By the way, if you're looking for a Christmas story to read to your family, Luke 2 is where we typically read from. There's a great passage in Matthew that tells the Christmas story, but Luke really summarizes it well. So if you're looking for a good, hey, at the table before we get presents out, whatever story, we typically read Luke 2. And that's where we're at today. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Ah! Can you imagine? I mean, just put yourself in that moment. You've just put the pot of coffee on the campfire. Somebody's making a Dutch oven cobbler, and life is good. You got the little shepherds and the old shepherds telling stories to one another, and somebody's got marshmallow. I mean, it is just, you're tucked in for the night, things are good, and all of a sudden, hallelujah, oh, you know, angel shows up, and if I've known anything about angels in the Bible, they're not these cute little bubbly babies that are naked, running around with stringed instruments. Runner up. That's not an angel. That is a hallmark. An angel is a terrifying, incredibly powerful being. I mean, they are beautiful and marvelous and warriors and intense, and just anytime you see it in Scripture, people say, "Don't be afraid." You're like, "Huh? It's an angel." They're intense. They're fearful. Like, if you saw a legitimate angel up here, it would probably bring a measure of fear to you because they are impressive beings. And so he says, don't be afraid. They were terrified. They thought this would be bad news and this would not be a good Christmas for them. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy. For who? All. People. Good news. I'm about to tell you something. I'm about to speak into your life something that will bring, there's a cause and effect that will bring about, it will grow into joy for all people. I'm going to do this for you. And then it gets really fun. He says, today, here's the news. You ready for it? You ready? Secret. I can't keep it in. You know, I just imagine the angels are like, they have the secret, and they're just so excited. Like kids at Christmas. I know, what are you kidding? It's good news. You know? You ever seen a kid do that where they're just like, I know what you're kidding. Don't ruin it. It's a robe. Keep you warm. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Wait a minute. Messiah being born. He is a baby? Now, here's the thing. The shepherds were good Jewish boys. They grew up in the synagogue. They grew up, they went through their bar mitzvah. And they knew a little thing or two. They had heard stories from their moms and their dads at night when they were gathered around the campfire, and that there would be one day a Messiah who would act a lot like Moses did to liberate us from the oppressive people that we're under. You see, the Israelites were oppressed. They were under Roman captivity. They didn't have their own government system. They couldn't worship as freely as they wanted to. The Romans did some horribly disgraceful things to the temple itself. And they were oppressed, and they've been oppressed for many, many generations. They've been oppressed for a long, long time. The Babylonians before them, they knew what it was to be slaves in Egypt, and they had long since heard and read in Scripture and had prophecies about this one to come called the Messiah. And they'd heard that he would be, that there would be something great about him. As a matter of fact, 700 years before this moment, we get this powerful moment where in Isaiah it's prophesied, "For to us a child is born." This is 700 years before Jesus. "For to us a child is born." This is the Messiah. "To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder." So when the shepherds here, the Messiah is coming, they're excited, like, yes, battle is coming, we are going to be free, Messiah is coming. Boys, girls, here's the deal, you're going to know a day where Israel will have a king, and it won't be in Rome, it won't be a governor, it won't be somebody oppressive, it won't be someone to lord over us in a demonstrative way, it will be somebody who is great, and he will be called, say it with me, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and your turn. Say it again. Of the greatness of his government and peace. I mean, it's just incredible. He will be called Prince of Peace. That's when this angel busts out, does a flash mob, people are freaking out, and they hear the word Messiah, that's what they think. Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, he is coming! And he'll be a baby. And I'm sure that threw him a minute. A baby. Really, that title for a baby. Okay. Okay, okay. And then, I love this. Oh! Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel. And like, okay, so one was scary. How about a company? 1,000 angels in the sky praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven. And on earth," what's that word? "To those on whom his favor rests." Peace on earth. To those on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, and they were gone. Did you just see what I saw, Al? Uh-huh. Maybe we should go check it out. Uh-huh. And they said, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." Good news! Today I am here to say the same thing the angel said. There is good news. 2,000 years ago, a baby was born in a manger, in poverty and destitution, to be king, not just of his people Israel, but to be king of kings, that all kings would bow to him, to be Lord of lords, that all lords would bow to him, to be the mighty God, the everlasting God, one, and to be Prince of Peace. What is this good news that will bring great joy? It is that he is peace. He's going to bring peace. That's the thing that will cause joy, is peace. How many know you could use a little peace this Christmas? We live in a world, you know, we hear this thing where, okay, God is peace and Jesus is peace, but where is the peace? I mean, really? You know, when I think of peace, I think, well, my dog won't run away. I think, you know, the kids will go to sleep at night. I think, I think of peace, I think world peace. You know, what are you praying for? World peace. And that Syria will be stalling in the civil war they're going on. That we'll see North Korea lay down its arms, and we'll see people embrace one another from the different groups in the Korean peninsula. That we'll see the division in our politics come together. I mean, no, that would be a miracle. Christmas miracle. And we see this. We know what it is. We live in a world that's really at its core. It's at war. It's frustrated. It's disgruntled. We see this lack of peace all around us. You've experienced some of it. The conflict you have with a relative. You've maybe experienced the call from somebody saying your mom or your dad fell. They're getting older. And they broke their hip, or they need help, or you must make a decision about their long-term care. You've experienced this lack of peace when you've been called into your office and you either have to take a pay cut, or maybe the job is no more, or whatever. You've experienced this lack of peace when you get a phone call in the middle of the night and they say, are you the parent of this child? And a whole set of circumstances unfolds from that moment. Maybe you've experienced a lack of peace when you discovered you were going to have a baby and it wasn't planned. And we experience this and we walk through this and we hear that he's the Prince of Peace. We hear that he's meant to be priest. We hear that this is all good. But where is the peace? And here is the crux of what I'm about to tell you. Jesus came to bring peace, but not in the way that you or I define peace. You see, most of us define peace as like if we could just live on a beach and drink things out of a coconut and do nothing for the rest of our life. That would be peace. And yeah, that'd be fun for like a week, maybe two, maybe a month. But at some point, there's no peace in that because you got to pay for that rock and roll lifestyle too, just like you pay for yours. And so we realize that that's not really the goal. And Jesus didn't come to just bring you an anesthetized, kind of tranquil, just life. See, he came to bring peace, but not on our terms, but on his terms. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give with you. I do not give you as the world gives. How does the world give? Temporary. That WestJet ad, every single one of those gifts is temporary. The TV will fry. The socks will get holes in them. It's temporary. It's not lasting. And so many of you, you've discovered this not lasting peace. You thought you had it in a relationship. You thought you had it in a friendship. You thought you had it in a job. You thought you had it in a car. You thought you had it in money and things and material things. You thought you had your peace. And when you got it, you realized quickly, it's not good enough. I'm lacking. It's empty. It left me with wanting more. I have to replace this Christmas what is outdated from last Christmas. None of the things in our life, none of the things under the tree are bad. Money's not bad. Education's not bad. None of this stuff is bad. It's all fine and dandy. But if that is the thing that you think will give you peace, then it's taken the place of God. And that is where deep frustration and unsettledness and brokenness and weariness and tiredness comes in. And that's why we are, as Jesus said, sheep without a shepherd, thrown about, frustrated, wandering travelers to and fro, alone and naked and just full of shame and guilt and doubt. And Jesus came into this world knowing that we were trying to replace God's peace with peace of our own making. And this Christmas, this baby was born to these weary travelers, Mary and Joseph. This Christmas, child who was given as a sign of great joy and good news and peace to all whom his favor rests, can be your peace today. Last week, James Glanton was traveling with his family in Utah. They were jeeping, which is always a fun thing to do in Utah, so I've heard. Apparently, they have rough roads and rocky terrain there. As you can tell, I haven't been there. And so they were jeeping, and somehow he flipped the jeep over, and he and his family were there. There were like three kids, and they were all there. And it was sub-freezing weather. It was cold. It was nasty. There was no cell. He couldn't make a cell phone call from the place. And so they didn't know where these people were. They were this massive manhunt and search, and they thought maybe the worst. They thought they had died. But the truth of the matter is, this guy was an outdoorsman, and he took care of his family quite well. There was a little minor, abrasions and a little bit of freezing stuff on the arms and that kind of thing. But basically, they were fine. Basically, a little dehydration, but basically, they were okay. And the doctors were amazed. And one cop said this. He said, the people who stayed near the car, they live. But people who don't, they die. They used the Jeep as a refuge, a shelter for the family. So they'd go in, they'd sleep there at night, they'd all huddle together, they'd share their warmth, it protected them from the elements and the weather. They built a fire with the tire, and that heat radiated into the shelter that they had there. And here is what we have to know about the peace of God. If you make the Lord your refuge, your shelter, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. Just like this man who was out on his own, out with his family, used this broken down wreck as a shelter. So God sent his son Jesus to be born of a virgin, to live sinless for 33 years, to be persecuted and die on a cross by his own people who he was sent to save. In our place, he bore our shame. He bore our guilt. He took the place of us for our sins. And this broken down wreck of a body that was abused and broken was laid in a tomb. 3 days later, arose perfect. And that broken down body became a shelter for us to run to. That cross, that symbol of persecution and oppression of the Roman people, became a place of hope, a place of peace, a place where tranquility resides, a place where the shelter can protect us from the elements, can protect us from the place around us, the fear, the doubt, the guilt, the shame. This shelter can give us peace. If he is the Prince of Peace, it means that he is a king. If he is a king, it means that where his shelter is, there his laws abide. That wherever his presence is, there his kingdom is. And when you're in his kingdom, you're subject to his rules. But when you're out of his kingdom, you're subject to somebody else's rules. And when we call the Most High our shelter, he will protect us from evil, and the brunt of the storm he takes on his back. Isaiah 53 says, by his stripes we are healed, by his affliction we are found to have hope and salvation. He is our shelter if we place ourselves under his authority. And those who place themselves under the shelter of the Most High live, but those who don't die. That's a powerful word, and it's truth. It's truth. John 16 says, I have told you these things, Jesus said, that in me you may have peace, and in this world you will have trouble. In other words, hey, bad stuff's going to happen. You'll get the phone call. Life won't always treat you fair or right, but take heart. I have overcome what? The world. I'm a shelter, and I have overcome the world. Have you ever felt like you didn't get what was advertised? You know, it says when you put together children's toys, like, it's easy. It's not. It's actually quite frustrating as a man to put together my child's toys. I remember one time I was putting together this plastic. It was like three parts. It was plastic. And we were sitting there in the living room, and Olivia was little, and she was in bed, and I was frustrated trying to get this thing. And my thumb was out like this, like I'm giving it the old heave-ho, trying to, and it popped back. And I had a little trickle of blood and like an indent in my forehead, like, oh, not as advertised, not easy. Elizabeth laughed. She just laughed at me. What's wrong with you? I don't know. Not as advertised. This Christmas season, we see a lot of those things that aren't as advertised. We just find ourselves, and the truth of the matter is, these shepherds, they could have shown up and looked at the baby and been like, angels, what are you talking about? Not as advertised. This baby drools. I thought King of Kings, Lord of Lords, like, walk on water, not use diapers. What's the deal? It's not as advertised, but for the shepherds, what they realized was it was everything the angel said it would be and more. Jesus Christ will be your peace. He will be your hope, and it will be all and more that Scripture says. Here's what it says in Luke 2. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. Mary treasured it up, all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And here it is. The shepherds returned back to their normal life, back to being a shepherd, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as had been told. Just as advertised. You can trust it. He is your peace. He is your shelter. This good news of a baby born to die, die in your stead, is just as advertised. Good news that will bring great joy and peace to whom his favor rests. My wife and I got married a little over 12 years ago, and we were young, 21, barely, and people tell you things like, you can wait a few years, you can whatever. And we're like, no, we're getting married. And you realize now at this stage in life, like, they're not trying to detract you from getting married. They just go, hey, you know what? Life's long, and it's not all peaches and cream and wonderful. Like, just make sure you get this thing right. And when we got married, we made vows to one another. And maybe you've made similar vows or heard them, but for better or worse, for richer or poorer, till death do us part. And we meant them. But we didn't know what it meant fully to make those vows. Oh, we've had richer. We've had incredible moments where God has blessed us. Well, we've experienced poor. We know what it is to go without, and to live on less, and to be homeless for seasons, and to try to figure out where our next move is. We know that. For sickness and health, I mean, we know what it is to be healthy. We were young, and man, you could do anything. Now I shovel once, and I'm like, oh. But sickness, I didn't know when I was 21 and got married, what it would be like to walk through what we've walked through. Multiple strokes and blood clots and years of recovery and all the rest. I didn't know what that would be like to experience the lack of peace and the fear of that moment. We've had good days. I mean, we just made some puppy chow with our kids for the first time, which I got to tell you, a three-year-old and powdered sugar is an awesome sight. It is a blast. I'm like, why have we not gotten powdered sugar out more often? It's all over my kitchen floor. It's awesome. Epic. But here's what I know for sure. This good news, it's true. this baby born brings great joy. This peace that Jesus came to be the Prince of, when you place yourself under His shelter, we've walked through hard days, but He has taken on His back the brunt of everything we've gotten through. And I know that it is true. And just as the shepherds walked away going, everything we saw and heard was right. And years later, the shepherds just telling their story to their little kids sitting at the campfire who are learning to be shepherds. One day in this field, we looked up, we saw an angel. And son, I'm telling you, when you see him, it's incredible. I was scared.
You were dead.
Yeah. But then he said, don't worry, because I've got good news. He told us about this baby, and we went and saw, and I've never seen a baby where I just felt such contentment with. And I knew in that moment, Messiah's here. And son, don't ever lose sight of that one. Because it's true. And maybe you don't have a lot of joy this Christmas season, or maybe you're going through the brunt of it, or maybe this 2013 was a weary year for you and yours. Get under the shelter. Don't leave the shelter. Don't try to make your own shelter. Don't try to do your own thing. Because I've got good news. In this shelter, no matter what comes, Jesus has conquered it. I conquered the world. And at the end of your days, when you close your eyes for the final time, there will be peace. Would you stand with me? Bow your heads. Have you placed yourself under His authority, under His care? Have you embraced this good news? Have you allowed the joy to come upon you? Have you placed yourself under His sheltering, His peace? Many of you, you have. Many of you, you've heard this message and you're in agreement. Your little sniffles and cries are because you're like, yep, it's true. And I need that reminder. He is my shelter. I got this in Jesus' name. And some of you, you've never placed yourself under that peace. And you, when you hear this, you go, how can you go through trial and still have peace? Because it's a peace that passes all understanding. It's a peace not as the world gives. It's an eternal, everlasting peace. And it's true, and it's yours to you today. But the key piece to this is it's on whom God's favor rests. How do we get that privilege to be under the one or to be a part of the one with whom God's favor rests? How do we get there? In this moment, I'm going to pray a prayer. And when you invite Jesus into your heart, when you place yourself under His authority, then God's favor rests on you. And it's simple. It's not laborious. It's just simply saying, Jesus, I surrender and I give my all to you. And He takes you and He places you under His care. And from that time on, you are in His shelter. So let's do that together. Maybe you've done this 100 times. Let's do it again. Maybe this is your first time. Let's do this together. If you would, bow your heads. Pray this heartfelt prayer with me. Jesus, I believe your story is true. I thank you that you came as a baby to die for my sins. And I trust this good news. And I pray that you would be my shelter. Be my peace. Father, I surrender my good, my bad, my ugly. And I pray that you would forgive me and cleanse me. Make me new. And I will live for you. In your name we pray, Jesus.